In Matthew 28, the last few verses, we have what's called the Great Commission. And we notice in verses 18 through 20 that Jesus gives his disciples a command. In this command, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." In order to make disciples, which is the goal of evangelizing the world for Christ, it requires us to preach the gospel. So let me ask you a question. Are you a disciple of Jesus? Maybe you believe in Jesus. You might even be someone that attends church services on a regular basis. But what is it that it means to be a disciple of Jesus? The purpose of our study today is to try and make it clear what is involved in being a true disciple of Jesus Christ. So let's begin with the definition of the word discipleship. When we talk about the word disciple, it literally means a learner. It denotes one who follows another's teaching, according to Vines. A disciple was not only a learner, he was also an adherent. And for this reason, disciples were spoken of as imitators of their teachers. The goal of a disciple, as stated by Jesus in Luke 6 and verse 40, is to be like his or her teacher. So then, to be a disciple of Jesus, then, is to strive to make every effort to be like him. And this coincides with God's goal in the redemption of mankind, that we be conformed to the image of his Son, Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Now, are you trying to follow Jesus and become like him? Unless you do, it cannot be said of you that you are his disciple. Jesus gave us some identifying marks that help us to further identify a true disciple of his. So the first of these marks of discipleship is that one abides in the words of Jesus. We note what Jesus said to those who believed in him in John 8 and verse 31. And this would simply imply a diligent student of the teachings of Jesus. It also requires one to be a doer of the word. We have to act upon the word of Jesus, but it has to be within the confines of his authority. We go back to the Great Commission in Matthew 28, and in verse 18, he begins his Great Commission by saying that all authority has been given to him in both heaven and on earth. In his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, in verses 21 and 22, he talks about that there will be a lot of people that will go through this world, and in the day of judgment, they'll say, "Lord, Lord, look at everything that we've done in your name." And he says, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." So I understand from what Jesus says here that just to do something in his name does not mean that we have authority for what we're doing. James would tell us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. So one of the marks of being a disciple is abiding in the words of Jesus, and it requires us to act within the confines of his authority. Another mark is to love the brethren. That's what Jesus tells us in John 13, verses 34 and 35. And with a love that is patterned after the love that Jesus had, as he says, "As I have loved you, we are to love our brethren the same way." And that's a sacrificial love. What are you willing to do for your brothers and sisters in Christ? And it's with a love that is visible to the world. In that same passage, he says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples." The world ought to see the love that Jesus had for you in your life. Another mark of being a disciple is that you'll bear much fruit. That's what Jesus told his disciples in John 15 and verse 8. And in verse 5, he includes a word in there that you'll bear much fruit. So Jesus is not talking about an occasional good deed, but a lifestyle that's going to prompt people to glorify God because of the way you live your life. Look at the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. And he talks about the characteristic of those who would be citizens of the kingdom of heaven. But a failure to bear much fruit is going to result in being severed from Christ. Jesus talked about this in John 15, verses 1 and 2. So, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ means more than just a casual church member. And also, it requires a commitment, especially in regards to the teachings of Jesus, the love of the brethren, and bearing fruit. That commitment is involved and is seen further when we consider that there is a cost to being a disciple of Christ. Jesus must come first. He made that absolutely, abundantly clear when he spoke in Luke 14, verses 25 and 26. And what he tells us there is that he must come before anyone else. That includes family members, that includes friends, you name it, Christ must come first. I preached a sermon about the leadership qualities of Joshua this past Sunday evening, and that was one of the things that Joshua is noted for, is that he served the Lord regardless of what friends and family may think. Well, Jesus talked about that in Matthew 10, verses 34 through 37. But also, Jesus has to come before ourself, our own individual wants and desires. He talked about this in Luke 9, verses 23 through 25. And in this, I may have the attitude that I want to serve God my way. My wife was recently talking about a Facebook page that she follows, and this individual said that they were looking for a church here in Shelbyville that would basically make them enjoy and feel good about the way they wanted to live. Well, if I'm serving Jesus and I'm willing to pay the cost, then it's not about me. It's about doing everything that Jesus would have me to do. So I must understand that if I'm going to be a disciple, Jesus has to come first. But also, I must be willing to suffer for Jesus. I must be willing to take up my own cross and follow him, according to Luke 14 and verse 27. You know, trying to live godly lives in an ungodly world, which is what we live in, we may find that following Jesus sometimes involves ridicule or persecution. And Paul warned the young preacher Timothy about that in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. But you know, even if we are blessed to escape those things like ridicule and persecution, we must still be willing to expend time and energy in promoting the cause of Christ in a positive way. But there's also another cost. There's three things that we want to notice in this cost. One is that Jesus must come first. Secondly, we must be willing to suffer for Jesus. And thirdly, we have to understand that we need to forsake all to follow Jesus. Jesus asked a question in Luke 14, verses 28 through 33 about, have you counted the cost? In order to be a disciple of Christ, it means that there is a cost that we have to be willing to pay. In other words, Jesus must be King and Lord of our lives. Nothing can take precedence over him and his will for us. Now, this cost of discipleship required by Jesus has caused many people throughout the ages to turn from following him. But Jesus wasn't trying to attract large crowds. He wanted disciples. He wanted true disciples. So the question needs to be asked then, is the cost worth it? Well, I believe so, because when I consider the cost, I must also consider the rewards of being a disciple of Jesus. There are future blessings. We'll be saved from the wrath of God which is to come. Paul spoke of this on Mars Hill in Acts 17 and verse 31. And we can look forward with joy to spending eternity with God, free from sorrow, free from pain and death. That's what John wrote about in Revelation 21 and verses 1 through 8. But there are also present blessings. You know, I preach sometimes that Christians ought to be the happiest people in the world. Because as Jesus talked about in John 14 and verse 27, he offers peace to his disciples that the world cannot give. And that peace calms our troubled hearts. In John 15 and verse 11, Jesus talked about that his words inspire joy to lift our spirits out of any depression. And in John 15 and verse 9 and 1 John 4 and verse 18, John talks about and writes for us that Christ offers to those who follow him the abiding love of God that is able to cast out our fear. And he makes it possible for us to be members of the family of God, Mark chapter 10, verses 28 through 30. There are a lot more blessings that we could mention, but because of the time of this allotment here, we need to understand that there are many other blessings that are to be enjoyed. But these are enough to show us that it is worth the cost of following Jesus. So now that we understand the nature of discipleship, its cost and its rewards, I hope that we want to be true disciples of Jesus. So the question then needs to be asked, how do we begin? For that answer, we go back to our text, Matthew 28, in the Great Commission. In verses 19 and 20, we see that it involves baptism. Why baptism? We need to remember the goal of discipleship is to be like Jesus. He was holy and sinless, yet we are to try and be like him. We are to make every effort to be like him. And baptism is an act of faith that puts us in contact with the cleansing blood of Jesus so that we can be forgiven of our sins. Acts 2 and verse 38, Acts 22 and verse 16, Romans 6 verses 3 and 4. But it also is the means by which one is putting on Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27. So, baptism is the logical starting place for true discipleship. So then, we've answered the question, why? Now let's answer the question of what. What is baptism? It is an act of submission, which must be preceded by faith in Jesus and repentance of our sins. Again, we go back to Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 8. Now, what this would not include is the baptism of babies. They're incapable of believing and having any sin to repent of. It is an act of submission that involves a burial in water, where one then rises to walk in newness of life through the power of God. This would preclude or leave out sprinkling or pouring as a mode of baptism, because neither of these involve a burial or an immersion. If you go back to the Greek word baptizo, that's what it means, a burial. And also, beginning to be a disciple includes more teaching and more obedience. That's what Jesus said at the conclusion of his Great Commission there in Matthew 28 and verse 20. And this brings us back to the very definition of discipleship. Jesus clearly states that we are to be taught. We are to be learners. We are to observe, as he says in Matthew 28 and verse 20. That means we are to be adherents and doers. So we start on a life, a new life that is devoted to learning and doing all that Jesus has commanded. Only those who are scripturally baptized and showing the marks of a disciple, despite the cost, can truly be called a disciple of Jesus. And only they can look forward to the rewards of being a disciple and take comfort in the promise that Jesus made in Matthew 28 and verse 20, where he says, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now let me ask you a question. Have you been baptized according to the pattern, according to the authority that the New Testament scriptures teach us? Have you taken the initial steps in becoming a disciple of Jesus? If not, then I ask you, I implore you to try and make the arrangements to be baptized for the remission of your sins. I want to thank you for being with me today. Look me up on Facebook. Look us up at church@eastside.com for our website. And I look forward to being with you again next Sunday morning. Thank you.